If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to First Strike, First Look. What a UFC 283 card. We have two title bouts on this card. Of course, Davison Figueiredo against Brandon Moreno. That will be for the fourth time these two gentlemen will be fighting for that belt. Glover Teixeira, light heavyweight, against Jamal Hill as well, in a very competitive, at least on paper, fight that we see here on a Tuesday. But let's get to the man who does a great job on First Strike, First Look, trying to find the best of the numbers here on a Tuesday before they possibly change when we get to Saturday night down there in Rio in Brazil. He is the one and only Lou Finocchiaro. You can follow him on Twitter as I do, at Gamblou, and the host of the Bout Business Podcast. Lou, here we go. The first really big fight card of 2023 is upon us. Let's get to the two title bouts to start. We'll go right to the top here at light heavyweight with Glover Teixeira, a small dog here at plus $1.10 against Jamal Hill at minus $1.30. Lou, do you take into account where we're fighting these fights? And I know you can't, the crowd can't fight for you inside that octagon, but we know the Brazilians are going to be there in Rio, and they're going to be strong for their guys.
First of all, Dave, thanks again for having me on. I love doing these early pot shots with you. No pressure and great insight. And yes, it's Brazil. And in each of the 15 fights, it was a Brazilian against someone other from the world. The two fights that we had short notice replacements is now Brazil versus Brazil. But in 13 of the fights, you have a Brazilian against someone from every corner of the world, which makes it fascinating. The crowd is going to be voracious. And we returned to Brazil since COVID. So there's a lot going on here. Crowd's going to be crazy. Teixeira fighting back in front of his home people, bringing the middleweight champion, Alex Pereira, his training partner, with him. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of storylines.
And that's why I look at it and I understand when you got a guy north of 40 like Glover Teixeira is, that's always the first thing people look at, right? They're going to go, can the old man really pull it off again against a guy in Jamal Hill? We just know how explosive he is. But I do wonder, you and I are old enough to go back to the, you know, Ali and Foreman fights, you know, Ali, Bumbaye. It's going to have that kind of feel to it for that Brazilian crowd. How does Jamal Hill block all that out? And really, he does have built-in advantages just by age, athleticism, and the like.
Age, athleticism, 2 inches taller, 3-inch reach advantage, 2 inches with legs. Listen, this fight cannot be competed on the feet. Now, they're going to start on the feet, but Glover's going to taste the speed and power of this kid and realize he has to envelop him, press mm-hmm. him, get him against the cage and get him down. Where this fight takes place will tell a lot. I think that the guile, the savvy, the experience who Glover's been in with, Glover, I should say, is going to give him some advantage. Yet, when I see the line at minus 130 and plus 110 for the Glover side, I think that's pretty accurate. But when I look at that total, Dave, 1.5 minus 135 to the over, that tells me that that scares me because I think Glover needs to tire this young kid out in order to sub him. Yet, that said, no easier time to sub a guy than when he's dry and cold and early on. I just don't see any kind of strategy where it behooves Glover to engage early. Rather, I think he needs to take it late. And consequently, for Hill, I think he has to come shot out of a cannon and go touch Glover fast as he can.
And Lou, I think what you're getting at too, and expertly done, is you're looking at possible correlated plays. That if you like Jamal Hill here at minus $1.30, you might look to that under a round and a half in a potential five-round title fight at plus money, plus $1.05. And if you like Glover Teixeira, the old man with the guile, as you referred to take the younger kid deeper into the waters, you play that over at minus $1.35 of a round and a half and the small plus price at a plus $1.10. So there's certainly some correlated plays that could go for that main event. In the co-main, I mean, I don't know that we're going to find better 125-pounders in the world, and that's why we keep seeing Davison Figueiredo against Brandon Moreno here for a fourth time here. Almost, again, like the main event, so closely lined here. Davison plus $1, Brandon right now minus $1.20. Now, this one in the total, 4.5 rounds now, is minus $1.50. The under, plus money at plus $1.20. Out of those four options, if you will, which one do you think makes the most sense here on a Tuesday?
For me, the Moreno minus 120 does. In fact, right, Moreno went to train with James Krause right after the Krause trouble came out. That number shot to Moreno plus 115, which is when I released it. So I'm holding Moreno at plus money, which looks good right now. They still have to fight. This is going to be an unbelievable fight. Physically, these guys are very, very similar. While each style's a little different, Figueiredo violent, power, Moreno precision, maybe more attrition and volume striking. These guys know each other well. This is the fourth fight. So I look at this fight, Dave, as coming down to the mentality. On the surface, it looks like Moreno has the struggles with his camp. Yet why is this fight in Brazil lined Moreno minus 120? I'll tell you why. Because I think Moreno mentally has the edge. I think he's the more focused fighter. I think he won the third fight, and he's not afraid to go down to Brazil. Meanwhile, Figueiredo, after the perfect plan executed here in Phoenix at Fight Ready, did not visit Fight Ready for this camp. He stayed in Brazil. The champ was in Brazil training, and everywhere he went, he didn't buy a drink. They kissed his ring. I don't think this is good mentally, emotionally for Figueiredo as well. He's always struggled with the cut. I think there are a number of compelling reasons to like Moreno here.
I absolutely love that handicap here on a Tuesday. First Strike, First Look with Lou Finicaro. Let's stay on that theme, right? Another, you got American, certainly in Neil Magny against Gilbert Burns. We know who the home crowd's going to be rooting for. It's going to be for Dorino there and Gilbert Burns, minus 435 against Magny, a guy who's always overlooked. Right? Is there danger here again that Magny at plus 350, is he still alive in your eyes here? Tough one on the road for Neil in Brazil.
It is, but I don't know how, I'm not a handicapper, Dave, but this fight should be minus 200, minus 240. The Magny line is obtuse. And will I end up by the end of the week having enough fortitude to actually take him? I'm not so sure, but it's a Magny or pass for me on that fight. Just because the price doesn't mean I don't think Gil is lethal, good, well-rounded, but Magny's so long and tall, I think Gil's going to have a hard time getting to him on the feet. And Magny is dangerous himself on the ground. I don't think he's going to want to allow it to get there. So this fight sets up to be very, very interesting as well.
And we see obviously what Dana White and Sean Shelby are doing, the matchmakers here for this. We're seeing obviously Brazilians up and down this main card. We have another one in the former champion, Jessica Andrade, against Lucky Lauren Murphy. Nothing lucky about her style. We know she wants to wrestle and grind it out. We know what Andrade wants to do. She wants to use that power that she has. But almost a $5 betting favorite, is that priced accordingly in your eyes?
No, sir. It's very similar to we're seeing, we're paying a heavy tax on some of these Brazilians. Let's not forget, Andrade looked fabulous in her last fight when she submitted Lemos, who's a killer. That said, that fight was 115. She's stepping up to fight a much larger gal that has one thing in her favor. I should say two things. She's tough as old leather, and she's a really good wrestler. This is not an ideal matchup for Andrade, and I lean to Murphy here, and I surely lean to the fight going the distance minus 110.
I mean, there's some really good value on the board if you like some of these dogs here, Lou. Obviously, Paul Craig against Johnny Walker, another Brazilian on that main card. It could be that fight or another fight here in the minutes we have remaining, Lou, that you still see some real value in here on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I see real value at Craig at plus 160. I took it at 165 because I didn't want to let it get away. It still could get higher. Again, Johnny Walker's the Brazilian flamboyant striker. Craig can hardly spell strike, but he can sub you if he gets a hold of you. That's going to be a fascinating stylistic fight. We'll see if Craig's striking has developed enough to make him competitive, at least to get Walker in his grip and against the fence.
That's all he's looking for. One clinch and one takedown, and then it could get really interesting if it gets down to the ground. As you mentioned, Craig right now, plus $1.60, Johnny Walker minus $1.90. Lou, very quickly before we wrap up, tell the people about the Bout Business podcast and what they get when they listen each and every week.
In our second year, you're going to get about 12 or 14 minutes of final releases for each UFC card. 15 fights on this card. We'll have two or three good solid releases this week. It'll be out wherever you get your podcast on Friday. And again, Dave, thanks so much for having me on to visit about these fights each week.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lou, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up what's going on in the heavyweight division here in the UFC. Unprecedented. We know Francis Ngannou, the former champion, is now a former employee of the UFC as he is leaving the organization as a whole. And the return of John Bones Jones, he's going to get a crack at the heavyweight crown against Ciryl Gane coming up in March. Wow, I didn't see all of this coming. We were waiting for John to finally get back inside of an octagon. Obviously not at a light heavyweight, but now at heavyweight. And he gets a title shot right away against Ciryl Gane and Ngannou leaving the organization. What do you make of all those moving parts?
Well, it's tough to try and make better than poor money in the UFC. I feel for Ngannou. I hope it goes well for him and that his future journeys are profitable and work well. What I focus on is what they give me. That's Gane against John Bones Jones. And I saw a tweet on Twitter by some fight enthusiast that I forwarded on, and I thought he said it best when he said, here's a guy in Gane that chose to wrestle with Ngannou. Ngannou had two blown knees and out-wrestled Gane. We understand Gane's new to this sport, okay? He's an athlete that's learning how to be a fighter. Now you're going to go put him with John Jones, a world-class wrestler who was bored and tired with light heavyweight, newly rejuvenated at heavyweight, and spending time with Henry Cejudo here at Fight Ready. This is going to be a competitive fight because Gane is fast, quick, fluid in his movement, but Jones is going to out-wrestle this guy. This is close to a pick'em now. As soon as the number came out, Dave, Jones was plus 115. I released it because any Jones at pick or plus money, I think, is worthy of a strong investment.
And I know there's some people out there going to go way back to the Alexander Gustafsson fight, in 2012, 2013, and certainly Thiago Santos here at light heavyweight. He did struggle in a couple of those fights, but to your point, he almost seemed bored in the light heavyweight division, and the best light heavyweight you can make an argument of all time, not named John Jones, would have been Daniel Cormier, and we saw what he did to Cormier in a couple of those fights. Is there any concern about just how big Ciryl Gane is for a guy like Jones who's coming up in weight and still is going to have to deal with a much bigger man inside that octagon?
I think you have to say yes to that. Surely he's training with the appropriate sized people to get ready for this, but you know, live fights different than anything. And Gane is a talented, quick, fast, skilled, athletic cat. Now, that all being said, John Jones has been, I think, driven to this. I think the fact that he's been out of the news a little bit lately has maybe taken some pressure off of him. John Jones, the guy that's breaking the rules a little bit, is a mighty dangerous fighter, and I sure hope he's breaking the rules a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we saw GSP when he came back and fought Michael Bisping in Madison Square Garden for the middleweight crown, and he got it that night. John Jones, in his return, could be the new heavyweight champion come early March. Absolutely remarkable.
Dave, you do mention a really good point, though, and people have brought up that guys like Gustafsson and Dom Reyes, bigger structured athletes, have given Jones trouble before. I'll tell you that, to me, that's Jones fighting to make 205 than it is him fighting at 245 or whatever he'll weigh in. And I'm awful confident in John Jones because of the pedigreed wrestling background he brings into his fights.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. It's going to be wild to see a big John Jones against a really big Ciryl Gane. That's a big heavyweight, too, and an athletic one, as you pointed out. We'll appreciate the insight, as always. And don't forget to check out First Strike every Friday, the full hour, with all of our guests right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for watching First Strike. Of course, subscribe on YouTube, and we always have First Strike First Look for you each and every Tuesday as we give you the best of the numbers before we get to First Strike each and every Friday. So download on iHeart, Apple, or your favorite podcast. Thanks for watching First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.